This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله تعالى نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the Qur'an at the very beginning of the Qur'an. It is the first description that Allah azza wa jal gives of his own book subhanahu wa ta'ala. In verse number 2 of Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah azza wa jal says, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدَلْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. This is the book in which there is no doubt, it is a guide for the people of piety, for the muttaqeen. Allah azza wa jal tells us that the Qur'an is a guide. Within it we find guidance. And it is not only the basic element of guidance that Allah is referring to, the guidance that we each, every single one of us knows of, the guidance of Tawheed, the guidance that in order for us to achieve success in this life and the next, we must worship Allah alone and stay away from every form and type of shirk. That is the guidance that the Qur'an is also referring to. But Allah Azza wa Jal in His Qur'an speaks about guidance not only in that form or in that context of Tawheed and Shirk, but Allah Azza wa Jal also speaks about guidance of every other kind as well. The guidance that we need in every single issue of our life, in everyday matters. Allah Azza wa Jal says, مَا فَرَّطْنَا فِي الْكِتَابِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. There is nothing that we have left out from this book, the Qur'an. Meaning any challenge or hardship or difficulty that you come across, the Qur'an contains guidance for you. It tells you the way to overcome that problem. It speaks about the solution. Tells you what you need to do in order to overcome that challenge. That is part of the guidance of the Qur'an. So in 2017, when we watch the news or we're on the internet and we're reading the news or we're reading a newspaper and we see the problems and challenges that we're facing as a community, whether it's because the Muslims are a cause, because a small segment from amongst us have done some ignorant actions, or it's because we're in the news, because we're the brunt of the oppression. People are oppressing Muslims in many different ways and forms. We're being attacked within the media and within certain political quarters. Or if it's not to do with Islam and the Muslims, we're feeling the brunt of the economic recession. We're feeling difficulty within our paychecks. Or if it's nothing to do with the economy, then all of us have individual and family problems. Challenges that we're facing with our spouses and our children, with our health and our everyday living. Every single one of those issues, no matter how great or how small, no matter how general or how personal it may be, Allah Azza wa Jal says that in the Qur'an, there is guidance for it. It is hudal lil muttaqeen. There is guidance within the Qur'an. But the guidance of the Qur'an comes in a different way than the way that many of us want and expect. The guidance of the Qur'an is not that Allah Azza wa Jal has listed every single issue and problem that will ever occur in the space of time. Allah Azza wa Jal hasn't mentioned every single issue that will occur until Yawm al-Qiyamah and its solution as an individual thing. Because that is illogical. And it wouldn't be possible for the Qur'an in its current form to contain all of that. But rather what Allah Azza wa Jal does instead is that He gives us principles that we learn and that then we can apply to all of those situations. It is those principles that Allah focuses on in the Qur'an. Because that is also the methodology that we as parents and as teachers, as elders of our community, should impart to our youngsters and our youth as well. Rather than guiding them on every single issue that they have to come back and ask you, in every single issue, what do I do and what don't I do, we teach them principles instead. This is how the schooling system works. We teach our children principles. And likewise in Islam, we teach our children principles. So that as they go on in life and as they grow up and they become adults, inshallah, that are successful, it is because they know those principles that will bring them success. They know how to overcome those problems. One of the ways that Allah Azza wa Jalla does this, He gives us those principles within the Quran, is by mentioning to us His names and His attributes. The names and attributes of Allah are from the greatest principles and foundations of the Quran. And that is why they are repeated and mentioned so many times. Each one of those names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has meanings that pertain to certain issues and problems that we may face within our lives. It is for this reason that Allah Azza wa Jalla often in the Quran, one of the most common endings of a verse are the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jalla says to us in the Quran, in surah, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَدْعُوهُ بِهَا. To Allah belong the most beautiful names, so call upon Him using those names. To call upon Allah using those names doesn't just simply mean to recite them or to read them or to memorize them, but it is to understand the context of your own dua and which one of those names are most befitting and appropriate. And then to internalize the meanings of those names so that when you use them in your dua, it comes from the heart. And you have knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and that particular name. Our Prophet told us sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith of Abu Huraira radiyallahu an, إِنَّ لِلَّهِ تِسْعَةً وَتِسْعِينَ إِسْمًا مِئَةً غَيْرَ وَاحِدٍ لَا يَحْفَظُهَا أَحَدٌ إِلَّا دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. Allah has 99 beautiful names. 100 minus 1. 99 beautiful names. No one memorizes them except that they will enter into Jannah. Memorizes them means that you understand them and that you know them. And that you internalize the meaning so that you understand what it is that Allah is referring to. Not just simply the translation. Ar-Rahman means the most gracious. Ar-Rahim is the most merciful. Al-Kareem is the most generous. But we don't actually know how that applies to our individual situation. It is to internalize those meanings and then to use them and apply them into your daily life, in your dua, in the way that you conduct yourself as a Muslim. When there's issues and problems and challenges that you're facing, you seek solace in those names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is an overarching principle of the Quran. I want to give you an example of one of those names and apply that within the context that I mentioned in today's khutbah. And that name is the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Latif. Al-Latif. Al-Latif is often translated as the subtle, or the gentle, or the acquainted. These are all translations of the name Al-Latif. But like all of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is difficult to compress the vast meaning of one of the names of Allah into a single word. The English language doesn't compare to the Arabic in its eloquence. So when we give it a single word definition, it is not the full scope of the meaning of the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Latif has two primary meanings that it refers to. And it is mentioned some 7 times in the Quran, Allah uses His name Al-Latif in various contexts. The first of those meanings is that Allah Azza wa Jal has knowledge of everything. He is well acquainted. Not only well acquainted and aware of what is going on in the apparent and in the open, but Allah Azza wa Jal has knowledge of even that which is subtle, that which is hidden, that which we hide even from our own families and from our own loved ones, and sometimes that we even deny to ourselves as being a reality. Allah has knowledge of all of that. That is from the meanings of Al-Latif. Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Quran, لا تدركه الأبصار وهو يدرك الأبصار وهو اللطيف الخبير. In Surah Al-An'am, that our vision does not perceive Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but Allah's vision perceives everything. And He is Al-Latif Al-Khabir. Al-Khabir is the one who is acquainted, who is aware, who knows everything. But Al-Latif is not just the knowledge of the apparent, it is the knowledge of the hidden and the subtle as well. And this is the meaning that Allah Azza wa Jal mentions in the Quran in Surah Luqman. Luqman the wise, as we know, Luqman Al-Hakim, In the page of that surah in the Quran, in Surah Luqman that is named after him, he gives advice to his son. And he speaks to his son in principles and foundations. doesn't tell him that if you go here, do A, B, C, and D. No, he gives him overarching principles that if he learns and embeds within himself and applies, he will be someone who comes closer to Allah Azza wa Jal. From the advice that he gives to his son Luqman in the Quran, يَا بُنَيَّ إِنَّهَا إِن تَكُ مِثْقَالَ حَبَّةٍ مِّنْ خَرْدَلٍ فَتَكُنْ فِي صَخْرَةٍ أَوْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ أَوْ فِي الْأَرْضِ يَأْتِ بِهَا اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَطِيفٌ خَبِيرٌ. O my dear son, if there is even a mustard seed of something, an atom's weight of something, and it is hidden either within the heavens or within the earth or within the mountains, Allah will bring it forth. For indeed Allah is al-Latif and al-Khabir. Allah knows everything. As the Prophet told us sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah Azza wa Jal sees the black ant on a black rock in the middle of the moonless night. Allah Azza wa Jal sees and perceives. And Allah hears the calling of that ant. Even though nothing around it may see it or perceive it, Allah knows and is well and fully aware and acquainted of the situation of that ant. So Allah Azza wa Jal, no matter what it may be or where it may be, no matter how big or how small, no matter how private and personal it may be to you, or how open or shared it is, Allah Azza wa Jal knows every single thing. And that is why when you turn to Allah and you make dua, Allah Azza wa Jal doesn't require from you that you explain your situation in the minutest of detail. Even though to show your poverty and to explain your situation is recommended in dua, but it is not because Allah needs to know the information. It's not because Allah is unaware of what's going on. It is to show your poverty and your need in front of Allah. Allah Azza wa Jal knows. And Allah knows your situation better than you can even explain. Those emotions that you have within your heart that you can't utter, you can't enunciate, you can't find the words to explain. Those feelings that you have that no other person understands, even those people who may be going through a similar trial to yourself. But they are unable to understand your particular situation because everyone's dynamics are slightly different. Those feelings and emotions, Allah knows. Because Allah is al-Latif al-Khabir. So Allah Azza wa Jal knows all of this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to us in Surah Al-Mulk in the Quran, وَأَسِرُّوا قَوْلَكُمْ أَوِجْهَرُوا بِهِ إِنَّهُ عَلِيمٌ بِذَاتِ الصُّدُورِ أَلَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ خَلَقْ وَهُوَ اللَّطِيفُ الْخَبِيرُ. If you are apparent in your words, you speak openly, or whether you conceal and hide them within yourselves, Allah knows them, for indeed He has knowledge of what the chests and the hearts contain. And should He not know when He created you, and He is al-Latif and al-Khabir. Allah knows everything. And that is why on Yawm al-Qiyamah, when the people come to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is not only the apparent actions and deeds and words that Allah will judge, but Allah will judge us for our intentions as well. And it is that intention when it is coupled with the action that will determine the gravity of that deed, the weight of that deed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala understands what we have concealed within ourselves. And that is from the meanings of al-Latif, that type of knowledge. And also from that type of knowledge is that Allah Azza wa Jal then understands our needs and what we need. So Allah Azza wa Jal understands that we need provision. So Allah provides for us. As Allah says in the Quran, أَلَمْ تَرَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ أَنزَلَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً فَتُصْبِحُ الْأَرْضُ مُخْضَرَّةً إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَطِيفٌ خَبِيرٌ. Do you not see that Allah causes rain to descend from the skies? And because of it, as a result of that rain, the ground turns into green. It becomes vegetation and plants. And indeed Allah is al-Latif and al-Khabir. And Allah Azza wa Jal says, Allahu latifun bi'ibadih, yarzuqu man yasha'. Allah is latif to His slaves, to His servants, to His creation. And He provides for whomsoever He wills. So every single creature upon the face of this earth, no matter how great or how small, Allah gives its provision to it in the way that it needs. That is from the meanings of al-Latif. That Allah knows your situation and He responds to that because of His knowledge. The second meaning of al-Latif that is mentioned in the Quran, and the second meaning of this name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that also applies to our situation, in particular in overcoming challenges and problems that we face, is that al-Latif also means that Allah Azza wa Jal also always does what is in your best interests, even if it is something that you cannot comprehend. Or if it is done in a way that is so subtle that you don't even notice. That is from the meanings of al-Latif. Allah Azza wa Jal often in our du'as we call to Allah and we ask Him for so many things. And in our du'as we are normally very specific in what we want. we want children, or we want a bigger house, or we want a nicer car, or we want to marry a certain person, or we want a certain job. We're very specific in our du'as. And sometimes Allah responds to that du'a and He gives it to us, and sometimes Allah doesn't respond. But we know from our religion that when Allah Azza wa Jal chooses not to respond to your du'a, then Allah Azza wa Jal has actually responded to it, but in a different way. He just hasn't given it to the way that, in the way that you asked for. Because Allah Azza wa Jal, sometimes when we make du'a, instead of responding to that du'a, He removes hardship from us. He removes a calamity from us that otherwise would have struck us. Well, sometimes Allah Azza wa Jal, in return, He gives us something better than when we asked for. Even though we ourselves can't see it. We don't understand it. We don't know where it came from. And that is from the meanings of the name of Allah Al-Latif. So when you have your issues and your problems and you're making dua, you're turning to Allah, you're crying at night, you don't have any other door that you can turn to except for the door of Allah Azza wa Jal, and you make that dua sincerely from your heart, remember that name Al-Latif. Because Al-Latif means that Allah Azza wa Jal is responding to you, but you may not understand that response. It may be beyond your comprehension. Allah has decreed something for you because He knows that it is in your ultimate interest, not your short-term interest necessarily. We want everything to be now and here, because that is the nature of humans. But Allah Azza wa Jal, when He looks out for the interests of the believers and the mu'mineen, He doesn't just look at the dunya or their immediate life, but Allah Azza wa Jal also considers their akhirah. And that is why Allah Azza wa Jal is al-latif. Because the way that He deals with the believers and His awliya is far more greater and encompasses far more than just their everyday living. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us an example of this in the Qur'an. In one of the most famous and common stories in the Qur'an, we have the story of Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam, the Prophet of Allah. Usually in the Qur'an, when Allah mentions a story in the Qur'an, those stories are divided and dispersed throughout the Qur'an. The story of the Prophets Nuh and Ibrahim and Musa alayhim as-salam, Hud, Salih, Shu'ib, Lut alayhim as-salam, the Prophets of Allah, their stories are normally dispersed throughout the Qur'an. We find verses here and verses there. But Surah Yusuf and the story of Yusuf is an exception to that rule. It is one of the few stories of the Quran about a Prophet of Allah where the whole of his life is condensed into a single surah. It is mentioned all in one place. And that is because Allah Azza wa Jal wants us to understand and know the journey that this Prophet of Allah went on and the different challenges and hardships that he faced. Because the story of Yusuf alayhi salam is ultimately a story of trial and hardship. Yusuf alayhi salam overcomes one challenge only to be faced by a greater one. And he overcomes a second challenge only to be overcome by a third greater one. And each and every single time, his iman and his connection to Allah strengthens and it becomes greater. Yusuf alayhi salam is a boy, as we know from that story in the Quran. And he's taken by his brothers and he's left for dead in a while. Those brothers that should be looking after him, should be looking out for his best interests, instead of looking out for him, they leave him for dead in a well. That is a trial that Allah Azza wa Jal mentions. Yusuf alayhi salam is found by a caravan of people that are passing by. They find the boy in the well, and instead of returning him home, taking him to a position or person of authority so that he can be reunited with his parents, they sell him into slavery. It is a trial. As he is a slave and sold into bondage and slavery, he comes into a household where the wife of his master wants to seduce him. She wants him to do haram. And Allah Azza wa Jal gave to the Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam beauty, physical beauty, as our Prophet told us sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Yusuf alayhi salam doesn't want to succumb to the requests of his master's wife. It is a challenge. So then he has a fourth challenge where he's threatened by prison. So Yusuf alayhi salam chooses prison and the difficulty and hardship of prison and jail over committing haram. So he enters into jail. And he stays in jail for a number of years until finally Allah Azza wa Jal brings him out of jail. And even when he comes out of jail, he's faced with the challenge of now trying to reunite his family. His brothers come and visit him. And he must speak to them and deal with them and overcome that situation as well. The whole of that story, Yusuf alayhi salam's story in the Quran, if you were to read it and analyze it, it is a story of difficulty and hardship, challenge upon challenge. But after every single one of those challenges, at the end of the surah, when Allah Azza wa Jal speaks about how Yusuf alayhi salam is reunited with his parents, reunited with his brothers, how Yusuf alayhi salam forgives his brothers, and the dream that he had as a young boy that Allah mentions at the beginning of the surah has come true. Yusuf alayhi salam summarizes his own situation. He speaks about his own situation and he says, وَقَدْ أَحْسَنَ بِي إِذْ أَخْرَجَنِي مِنَ السِّجْنِ. And Allah was good and benevolent to me when he took me out of prison. وَجَاءَ بِكُم مِّنَ الْبَدْوِ مِن بَعْدِ أَن نَزَغَ الشَّيْطَانُ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ إِخْوَتِي. And Allah was good to me when he reunited you and me together. After Shaytan had come between me and my brothers, he had caused animosity between us, Allah has reunited us. And then he says, alayhi salam, as Allah mentions in the Quran, Inna Rabbi Latifun lima yasha. For verily my Lord is a Latif to whomsoever he wills. Yusuf alayhi salam has a life of difficulty. But when he summarizes and gives the conclusion of his own story, he doesn't focus on the challenges and the difficulties. He doesn't focus on the trials. And he doesn't ascribe any of that to Allah Azza wa Jal. But rather he speaks about Allah's gentleness and mercy. Because ultimately everything that Allah had decreed and that journey that Yusuf alayhi salam had been on, it was ultimately one of good. Allah chose him to be from amongst his prophets. And Allah honored him with knowledge and with miracles. And Allah gave him and bestowed upon him so many favors that he became one of the most powerful people in the land of Egypt. All of those are the favors of Allah Azza wa Jal. So yes, you may have difficulties and problems within your life, but when you balance them with all the blessings that Allah has given to you in your life, in terms of your health and your family and all of those other things that we enjoy, but we often don't recognize or acknowledge, then when you compare the two, indeed Allah is a Latif. And even what Allah has decreed from hardship, as we know from our religion, it is in actuality a means of expiating your sins, of raising your station, of increasing your reward. So Allah is Latif even in the way that He decrees hardship for you. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions this name in the Quran because it is a name that we need to familiarize ourselves with. It is a name that is pertinent to our situation, whether it be us as individuals or us as a community and as a nation. We need to go back to those principles of the Quran and those names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and learn what they mean, not just the translation of the words, but what they actually mean and how we can apply them within our lives. بارك الله لي ولكم في القرآن والسنة ونفعني وإياكم بما فيهما من الآيات والحكمة أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولجميع المسلمين من كل ذنب فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد. Another example that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives in the Quran of that second meaning of the name of Al-Latif, that Allah Azza wa Jal always does what is in your best interests, is in the story of the people of the cave in Surah Al-Kahf. That surah that we recite on every single Friday, or that we should be reciting every single Friday. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions the story of the people of the cave, who were a group of young men, small in number when compared to the rest of their community. And they were persecuted and tortured for their beliefs because they wanted to worship Allah alone and they didn't want to engage in the shirk of their community. But those people of their community, unlike for many of us that live in non-Muslim countries, their people didn't allow them to practice their religion. They would persecute them and torture them. And they wanted, and they even threatened them with death, as is mentioned in some of the narrations of Tafsir. So therefore those children or those young boys, they run away. They run away seeking some type of refuge in another place. And they come to a cave and they sleep in the, or they come to the cave and they stay within that cave with the intention of taking a short rest, letting things die down and then lie low. And then they would leave and they would carry on their journey elsewhere. But Allah Azza wa Jal decreed that when they slept in that cave, it wouldn't just be a short rest, but they would sleep for over 300 years. 300 years they would stay asleep. And then Allah would bring them back to life again. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this story is showing another meaning of Al-Latif, or another variation, another example of the meaning of Al-Latif. And that is that Allah Azza wa Jal always decrees what is in the best interests of you. Those people were the minority. Those people were being persecuted. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, He praises them because they stood up for their beliefs, because they were confident in their iman, because they didn't let the oppression of their community overcome and overpower them. And Allah Azza wa Jalla, as a result, He gave them that honor that their story would be mentioned in the Quran. Allah Azza wa Jalla gives many other examples in the Quran. The story of the people of the trench is a story of Allah being a latif to them. Yes, they would die ultimately in this life and they would be burned in the trench. But Allah Azza wa Jalla in the Quran, when He describes their story, He says, ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْفَوْزُ الْكَبِيرُ. What they attained was the greatest of success. Because the success that Allah is looking at and the interest that Allah sees are not just the short-term interests of this life, but it is the greater interests of the hereafter. So when Allah Azza wa Jalla addresses our mothers in the Quran, the wives of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَرَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُنَّ أَجْمَعِينَ, Allah says to them, وَذْكُرْنَ مَا يُتْلَى فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ وَالْحِكْمَةِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ لَطِيفًا خَبِيرًا. And remember, read that which Allah has revealed in your homes, your houses, from His verses and from the knowledge of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Quran and the Sunnah, much of it was narrated and revealed within the houses of the Ummahatul Mu'mineen. Allah says that there is one of the greatest blessings that any person could have hoped for. Inna Allah kana latifan khabira, and Allah was to them al latifan al khabir. The message of today's khutbah, my dear brothers and sisters, is that we need to acquaint ourselves with the names of Allah Azza wa Jal. The hadith that I quoted to you at the beginning, those 99 names, if you understand them, you will have Jannah. You have Jannah because by understanding those names and encompassing and applying them within your lives, you're able to overcome those challenges that will inevitably come your way. You're able in every single challenge and problem and situation, whatever it may be, however great or small, you find a way of coming closer to Allah. And that journey of constantly coming closer to Allah in this life, irrespective of what life may throw at you, that is the definition of success in this religion. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He grants us success in this life and the next. And that Allah azza wa jal makes us from amongst those people who know His names and attributes and apply them within our lives. We ask Allah azza wa jal that He showers His mercy and forgiveness and blessings upon our community. That Allah safeguards us and our families from shaitan and his traps. And we ask Allah azza wa jal that He makes our situation and affairs easy. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun ala al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.